This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Saturday. So we'll take a break for that 1 week and then restart after that. So today is the class on the 25th. Then August 1st, we'll take a break. And then we will reconvene on August the 8th. Is that okay and clear to everybody, inshallah?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Alhamdulillah. Yes. All right. Yes, quickly tell me. Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah was true or false? Is the longest surah of the Quran? Type it, please, or say it.
True.
It is the longest surah of the Quran. Excellent. True or false? The longest ayah of the Quran is in Surah Al-Baqarah.
Yes, true.
Very good. That is
also true.
All right. True or false? The greatest ayah of the Quran is the is Surah Al-Fatiha. The greatest.
No, false.
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 True.
False.
It's
Ayatul
Kursi.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Ayatul Kursi. Correct, Ya Abdul Rahman. Ayatul Kursi is the greatest ayah of the Quran. And Ayatul Kursi is in which surah also?
Surah Al-Baqarah.
Surah Al-Baqarah as well. Okay. Yeah. All right. Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed before the Prophet migrated to Mecca or after the Prophet migrated to Mecca? I'm sorry, before the Prophet migrated to Medina or after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated to Medina? Before or after?
Again, Medina, maybe?
Let me re-ask the question. Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed before the Prophet migrated to Medina or after?
After.
After.
After. Excellent. That is why it is called the Madinan Surah. It is after the Prophet ﷺ had migrated from Mecca to Medina. Okay, the name Al-Baqarah, what does the word Al-Baqarah mean? This is a simple question.
The cow.
The cow, okay. What is this? Is this referring to a story that took place or is it just referring to cows in general?
It's referring to the story of Banu Israel
and the rest, like Adam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's okay. Not specifically the cow, it's just the majority of it is the cow. Okay. The cow that Musa killed.
So it's a story, correct? Okay, now Hassan, you were telling me what story that is.
It's a story of Banu Israel when they were commanded by Allah to sacrifice a cow. The Banu Israel asked what type of cow they should do, and Allah started giving them more and more increasingly difficult requirements for the cow.
That's right.
And it showed that they should have just listened the first time when they could have sacrificed any type of cow.
Absolutely. Jazakallah khair. That's really awesome. Jazakallahu khairan. That's really good. Okay. So it is, in fact, the story is, the surah is named after that story. Now, do you remember the theme of the surah? In three words. Theme of the surah was?
Submission without compromise.
Submission without
compromise.
You see, now, that means that Bani Israel, did they submit to Allah? Did they do what they had to do? Did they slaughter the cow?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Did they actually slaughter the cow?
Yes.
They did, in fact. The Quran says, فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفَعَلُونَ. But they almost didn't do it because they were procrastinating so much. Is that an example of submission without compromise?
No.
No.
No, that is an example of submission with lots of compromises, right? It's almost like you didn't submit to Allah. That's how bad it was. It's, you know, like all the good vibes were taken out of it. Surah Al-Baqarah teaches us we need to be those who submit to Allah without compromise. Who is the example that Allah gives us of that? Who, which prophet?
Prophet
Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? In the first juz at the end, Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned. And he is the one who is, Allah tells us about him, that he is the one that Allah tested with many tests. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ And he fulfilled them all. His way is the best way to submit. Now, of course, we believe that the Prophet ﷺ is an actual, like he is the response to the dua of Ibrahim, right? We actually not just believe that, we know that from the Quran, okay? He is the response to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Prophet ﷺ sunnah, his life, our religion is a revival of the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. All right, that is what Surah Al-Baqarah, the very first part of it, teaches. In fact, if you look at what Allah says here, He says, وَمَن يَرْغَبُ عَن مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَن سَفِيهَا نَفْسَ Who but a foolish person will turn away from the religion of Abraham. The religion of Ibrahim, the way of Ibrahim is Islam. Okay? His way is the way of all the prophets, but specifically, since he is the ancestor of the Prophet ﷺ, his way is the way the Prophet came to revive, right? All right, so that is very good. Thank you very much. After after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transitions from Ibrahim to who? To us as believers, right? And what, like the second juz will speak about our responsibilities as Muslims. What are we supposed to do? How do we submit to Allah without compromise? What are the responsibilities that we have as part of our faith with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Bani Israel had responsibilities and they fulfilled some and then neglected others. What is going to be our approach, our attitude? This surah, or this juz in fact, will tell us that. Now, do you remember at the very beginning of this juz, there is an important incident. The incident was the incident of the change of the Qibla. Do you remember we spoke about this?
Yes.
The change of the Qibla was, the Qibla originally was facing which city? Mecca or Jerusalem?
Jerusalem.
Okay, Baytul Maqdis. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the Qibla to face what? Which city? The Kaaba in Mecca, right? Yes or no? The Kaaba in Mecca is our direction of prayer, the Qibla. You guys with me?
Yes.
That is, this was a very difficult thing for the Muslims because people made fun of them. They're like, oh, look, these people turn one way one day, turn the next day another way, third day they'll turn another way. Right? What they're trying to imply is that the Prophet was being morally inconsistent. Okay? And this was difficult because the Prophet was not inconsistent. He was very consistent, from the beginning to the end, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Because that shows that a person has true character. If they're consistent in their character, in the way they are, in the way they deal with people, in the way they, the values, the principles that they live by, it shows this is a person who is a person of true, like the character and the principles are true. You see? So the Prophet was very consistent. So this was very hurtful. And then the believers were also, hurt by this because imagine like a whole community is like laughing at you. We can imagine that because, a lot of times as Muslims, we get made fun of. So this was very hard. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet ﷺ that don't you worry, you'll be fine. Your direction of prayer is the Kaaba. That's the house that Ibrahim alayhi salam built. You are following, you as in you, the Prophet ﷺ, and all of us who follow the Prophet ﷺ, you all are following the way of Ibrahim. So it is more, it's more suitable that you follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? Or the Kaaba, the Qibla that Ibrahim alayhi salam had constructed. Okay, now today, We are going to, right, as the followers of the last prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have expectations. Allah has certain expectations from us. Okay? We are the ones who are the last nation with the final revelation, with the final prophet, with the final qibla. Okay? There are expectations that Allah has of us. Expectation number one that he mentions is being patient. Patience when something bad happens, something disastrous happens. Okay? That's number one on the list. What is this? Well, good things happen in life and bad things happen in life. Is it that if bad things happen in life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like us? Is that the case? Yes or no? People, where are you? I can't see the chat. Hold on. All right. Is it the case? If bad things happen to us, that it's because Allah doesn't like us. Yes or no?
No.
No. In fact, bad things are a part of life. Okay? How can we say that? Well, look at what this ayah says. All right? I need two volunteers. Let's have... the link on the Facebook page is on the London Mosque Facebook page. Jazakallahu khairan. Okay. Now, do we have Arham here today? Arham, my man. I always ask Arham to read the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, good. How are you?
Don't mind.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Thank you, Arham. All right. I need a second volunteer to read the translation.
I'll do it.
Hannah. Awesome. All right. So, Ya Arham, could you please read the Arabic, the ayah? And okay. Then, Hannah, you read the English, and then I'll go to the next ayah, and we'll go up to ayah number 157 like that, okay? One by one. Okay. Ready? All right, go ahead.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Sorry. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ خوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين.
We shall certainly test you with fear and hunger and loss of property, lives and crop. Give good news to those who endure with fortitude.
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
Those who say when afflicted with a calamity, we belong to God and to Him we shall return.
أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ
are the ones who will have blessings and mercy from their Lord. It is they who are on the right path.
MashaAllah. Very, very nice. Thank you very much, both of you. Jazakumullah khairan. That was awesome, okay? All right. So, this is the passage, a very beautiful passage, a very... Like, you know, this is a passage that, like, mashallah, a lot of you or most of you are really young, alhamdulillah, right? But when you get older and you go through times in life that are tragic, that are hard, okay? I tell you, this passage of the Quran is like, it's like something that consoles you. It soothes your heart, okay? It soothes your heart. And it's such a beautiful passage. That's what the Quran is supposed to be for us. I think. You know that? It's supposed to be something that when we are suffering, when we are struggling, the Quran soothes our hearts. And this was one of those beautiful passages of the Quran that does that. Okay? What does it say? It says that for sure we will test you. I.e., life is full of tests. That's what Allah is telling us. It's going to happen for sure. Good times will happen, bad times will come. it will happen for sure. Don't complain when it happens, right? Think about it. How many of you have gone on a plane? Right now, you can't go, but
me.
Have you been on a plane? How many of you have been on a plane?
Me.
Yeah.
All right, many of you, right? Okay, so when the plane is, you know, in the air and there's something, you know, like sometimes the pilot will turn on the mic and say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna about to be experiencing some turbulence. Put your seatbelts on, right? Have you seen that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Right? Right? That happens. Now, when he says that, are you more ready for turbulence or less ready?
More ready.
More ready.
More ready, right? Because you know it's coming. If he didn't tell you and it came, you'd be shocked. Maybe you're drinking your apple juice and you spilled it. Hmm? But now you know it's going to be turbulent. You're going to put your seatbelt on. You're going to be ready. When it happens, it's not so bad. Right? Yes or no? Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
That is the idea here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us there is going to be turbulence in life. It's going to happen. So now we have to prepare for it. We have to be ready for it. Okay? So that when it does happen, we can deal with it and not complain about it. That's the worst part. To complain about it is the worst part. Okay? So here is how what Allah says. He says, look, there's going to be tests. Lots of tests. Fear. Hunger, loss of property, loss of lives, loss of, it says crops. Thamarat is actually stuff you eat to enjoy yourself. Okay, like fruit is eaten for enjoyment or other types of luxury items that are eaten for enjoyment. That is actually what a thamarat is referring to. So you will lose your basic, the basic necessities of life. And you will also lose the luxuries of life. And sometimes you will have them, sometimes you won't. This is how life is going to be. But Allah is preparing us, right? And He's preparing us so now we can deal with it. How do we deal with it? We deal with it by being patient. And we deal with it by, you know, being just not complaining. Not saying, why did this happen to us? In fact, we deal with it by saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to God and to Him we shall return. Meaning, whatever happened to us is part of Allah's plan. He is in charge. Right now, I don't understand, but it'll be okay. It'll be all right. Okay? That person who is able to deal with the difficulty of life in such an amazing manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people. Who will have blessings and mercy from their Lord. And it is they who are on the right path. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Remember, what is the word for guidance? Do you know the word for guidance? In Hadi. Arabic?
Hadi, oh, yeah. Huda.
Huda, right? It's called Huda, right? At the very beginning of the surah, the Quran says that this Quran is hudal lil muttaqin. It is what?
A guide,
right? For those who are mindful of God, right? Those who want to be guided. Now look at this ayah. Allah says, if you want to be guided, here is your test. When bad stuff happens, you have to be patient. You have to be calm. You cannot complain. You should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. You should say, this is part of Allah's plan. Allah will, you know, help me through it. That is what being guided means. That is what submission without compromise means. That's pretty cool. Yes? That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects of us. He wants us to be in this amazing situation where bad stuff happens, we are able to deal with it. Okay, then next thing that's expected of us as believers, okay, is to reflect to reflect on the world. Now, what do you mean by that? Reflection on the world around us. This is a beautiful expectation. The Quran makes this a very important part of Iman. Iman. You know what? What's the translation for Iman, people?
Believing in Allah.
Faith. What else? Any other translation? That's pretty much it, right? Faith, Iman. One of the most amazing parts of the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your Iman has to be based on two types of ayat. So, Iman, faith is based on the ayat. What is the translation of ayat?
Verses.
Okay. Inside the book, which is what?
Quran.
Right? And faith is based on the ayat outside the book. What is this? This is?
Clues or Barahin.
Very good. Or more, another way of saying it, it's excellent, Abdurrahman. It is the reflection on Allah's creation. That is a ayah. The word ayah, by the way, means a miraculous sign. In fact, I'm going to translate ayat as not just verses, as signs. Ayat, inside the book, that those are the verses that we read. And the ayat outside of the book, which is the reflection on Allah's creation. Signs that are all around us. Look at what this ayah says. Okay. Let's have a couple volunteers, shall we?
I'll do the Arabic.
Okay, can you read the Arabic? This is hard Arabic, though.
Read the translation.
It's good. I can do it.
Okay, you can do it? All right.
Yeah.
Hassan, you would like to read the English?
Can I read the translation?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yusuf, next time. How's that okay? Is that okay, Yusuf?
Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you, Yusuf. All right. Abdurrahman, give it a shot.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيينا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم يعقلون.
All right, very good, Durhan. Yeah, Hassan, go ahead.
In the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the alternation of night and day, in the ships that sail the ocean bearing cargoes beneficial to man, in the water which God sends down from the sky and with which he revives the earth after its death, scattering over it all kinds of animals, in the courses of the wind and in the clouds pressed into service between earth and sky, there are indeed signs for people who use their reason.
Jazakallah khair. Well done, you guys. That's awesome. MashaAllah. Thank you very much. Okay. So, as you can see here, something very fascinating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He lists creation of the heavens and the earth. Count with me. How much is that? That's one. Yeah? Ready? That's one. Number two. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ Alternation of the night and day. Number three, the ships that sail the ocean bearing cargoes beneficial to man. How many is that so far?
Three.
Three. Right, good. in the water which God sends down from the sky? How much?
Four.
And with which he revives the earth after its death?
Five.
Scattering over it all kinds of animals.
Six.
In the courses of the winds, وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ.
Seven.
In the clouds pressed into service between the earth and sky.
Eight.
لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. آيات is the plural of what word?
Aya.
Ayat is the plural of the word aya. Signs. This is what Allah is saying. There are signs of Allah outside the book all around us. He gives 8 examples of them in this ayah. The example of what is happening above us. You know, the alternation of night and day. That's how the earth rotates. The changing of the seasons. Huh? The ships that sail on the ocean. Do you know this is how all your stuff that you buy, that's how it comes through ships sailing around the world. Okay. If there was no ships, if ships were not sailing on the sea, then we would, as a civilization, not thrive. You wouldn't actually have a civilization. This is not like a extraordinary claim. This is actually a reality. Okay. If you look at history, the most powerful civilizations, empires, controlled trade and commerce through the sea. And that is like, you know, that was the key for power and dominance. Okay. Allah reminds us, it is He who allowed that to happen through buoyance. The water which Allah sends from the sky, the rain that starts the water cycle, that allows us to sustain ourselves. If there is no rain, it's a drought. If it's a drought, there's no crops. There's no water to drink. People die. It's a famine. It starts with the rain. And the rain allows the plants to grow. It allows the animals to live. It allows us to benefit from all of that, from the plants, from the animals, from the water. The winds, they change the weather from hot to cool. They pollinate the plants, the flowers that gives us fruit. The clouds are the primary factors in the change of weather. Winds and cloud. If you look at like a meteorologist explaining what the weather is like, that's what they talk about, wind and clouds. Okay, this is how the winds are going. Low pressure, high pressure. Clouds are forming here. That's what it's about. All of these amazing ayat all around us are for people, the qawmi ya'qilun, for people who use their brain, for people who use reasoning. It is ayat for them to reflect on that all of this amazing, amazing system. It did not just pop out of existence out of nothing. It did not come without a purpose. It could not have just sprung out without someone making it. This is the idea. Like, how do you understand? What's the proof of Allah, that Allah exists? The proof that Allah exists is all of the things around us. This perfect system. It, you know, if you think logically, they call this in philosophy the first principles. Okay, the first principles are you break something down to its very core, and then you look at that core, and that core will tell you something about it. If you look at the world, you break it down from, you know, the way it is, you arrive at its building blocks. Okay, its building blocks, they cannot have just popped out of nothing. Because if they have popped out of nothing, we should see that happening repeatedly. You see, logically, it wouldn't make any sense. So they have to have a start and an end. If they have a start, That means there has to be someone who preceded that start. For that someone to have preceded that start to bring them into existence. Those building blocks of the universe. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it logically follows that for that to happen, Allah must have existed before. He must have been eternal. And the world has to be, it's not eternal. The universe is not eternal. All of this, if you just logically think, it points to the fact that Allah is the one and the only, the one who brought everything into existence, the one who was eternal, and the world isn't eternal, the one who is necessary. He is the one who this whole thing depends on. And he doesn't depend on it. This is what how we define Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our, not define, this is how we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So all of these amazing things, the Quran says, you gotta, if you want to really understand who God is, huh? Don't just rely on the ayat in the book, look at the ayat outside the book. And that will tell you who truly Allah is, how majestic Allah is truly. Okay? How amazing Allah is. Okay? So that is an amazing aspect. And what that should do, by the way, is when we understand who our Lord is, that should increase us in love for Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ The people who love, the people who believe they love God the most. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear His punishment. Okay? It's not just, I believe, hallelujah, and I'm saved. No, that's not what we believe. Okay? But it's not only that we only talk about punishment of Allah, you know, sin, you know, azab. No, we love Allah. أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ Believe, those who believe love God the most. This is ayah number 165. And you see how logically it follows. Ayah 164 talks about reflect on Allah's creation. Ayah number 165 says, when you reflect upon Him, you will love Him. That is how we are supposed to, that's how our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. People, are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So those who believe love God most. So the expectations we're talking about, what does Allah expect of us? He expects us to be patient. He expects us to reflect on the world. He expects that causes us to love Him more than anything else or anyone else. Okay. And when you love something more than anything or anyone, that becomes your priority. Our priority becomes now to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, to please Him. Submit without compromise. Do you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making that logical case? It's a very beautiful thing in the Quran. Okay? What else? What else does Allah expect? Okay? He expects us to consume the good things in life. Okay? Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being grateful to Him, submitting to Him, doesn't mean that you don't enjoy the beautiful things that Allah has given us. Can I enjoy this cup of coffee? You may not like it.
Yes,
but how do I enjoy it? Huh? Kulu min at-tayyibat. Eat from the wholesome things. It's a pure thing. It's something that Allah has made halal. Huh? He has provided it for you. Alhamdulillah. And then, as I'm drinking it, I say, Bismillah. And when I finish, I say what?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Right? That is what, that's what we do. Right? We enjoy the good. He expects us to enjoy the good things in life by being thankful for them. This is very important. It's ayah number 172. Enjoy the good stuff, the halal things. This is not, the religion isn't everything is haram. In fact, it says, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَ What's haram is very little. Haram is little. halal is a lot. Enjoy not the haram, enjoy the halal. Okay? Enjoy the halal, not the haram. That's the key thing. Huh? Look at that. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَ. The only things that are made forbidden for you is al-mayta. Al-mayta, it says carrion. I don't know what carrion is. It's basically someone who had, like an animal that was like roadkill. Okay? Like an animal that died. Instead of it being like sacrificed or you know, slaughtered, it died maybe out of disease. Maybe it got hit by another animal and died. Whatever happens. You know, like how animals will die for reasons. Let's look at what carrion actually means. Carrion is, well, I don't know. It's giving me like a whole bunch of, it seems like a game. Decaying flesh of dead animals. Okay. All right. Cadavers. Fine. We won't. So that is haram. In fact, that's disgusting, right? Al-adam. Blood is haram. Okay. Blood meaning, blood, like, I mean, of course, if there's blood and meat, that's not the point. But consumption of blood, it's disgusting. It's got germs in it. It's haram. Okay? وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ. The flesh of swine. What swine?
Pigs.
Pig.
Pig.
Pigs, right? Pigs are haram. The Quran says it. Okay? This is an impure thing. It's an impure animal. It was something, by the way, all of Allah's laws for that he sent to Musa alayhi salam, that was sent to Isa alayhi salam. In the Bible, pork is haram as well. Did you know that? In the Bible. Yeah. In the Torah and in the New Testament. Bible is the pork is haram. People eat it because they're like, oh, you know, the law of Moses doesn't apply to us anymore. Well, that's your illogical, flawed understanding. But the reality is the law of Allah has always been consistent. This animal is not to be consumed. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay. So pork and pork derivatives are not allowed. There's no pork on my fork. Okay. How many things so far has been haram? How many did Allah list?
Three
so far, right?
Three.
Look at that. Dead meat, blood, pork. And then number four is وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. This is a hard translation. What is consecrated other than in the name of God? What it means is that sacrificed in other than Allah's name. Okay? What that means is someone was sacrificing an animal in the name of Jesus. Can you eat that?
No.
No, that's haram, right? If someone was to sacrifice an animal in the name of, I'm going to sacrifice his animal in the name of, Brahma. It's a deity in Hinduism. Are you allowed to eat that food?
No.
No. So I was like, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Are you allowed to eat that halal animal?
Yes.
I was like, in the name of God. Not Bismillah, but in the name of God. Is that okay as well?
Yes.
As long as that person is referring to Allah as God, it's fine, right? So the haram is very little. Innama, it's only restricted to all these few things. It's not a lot. Innama harrama alaykum wal maytata. وَالدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Right? So this is a beautiful thing. What Allah is telling us, haram is little, halal is everything else. Everything else is halal. Enjoy the halal. Be thankful for the good things in life. Okay? What else that Allah says? If you are forced to... these are categories of haram, by the way, right? There's more stuff you can add to this. It's not just like only four things is haram and that's it. There's more stuff you can add in the category. It's like big, like buckets, and in that bucket you can put a few things. But what Allah is trying to highlight is that it's a restricted number. It's a limited number. The halal is way more. And that's how we need to understand our religion. Not everything is haram. Not everything that's good in life is made haram. That's a false understanding. That's a false understanding of what Allah says. Okay? Now, what also Allah says something very interesting. فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُرُ رَحِيمٌ. Ya Yusuf, would you like to read the translation?
Yes.
Read this one.
For one who is driven by necessity, neither craving nor transgressing, it is no sin, for God is forgiving and merciful.
Excellent. What does this ayah refer to? This ayah is referring to that if you are forced to eat haram, then there's no sin on you. Okay, what are the conditions? What are the two things that Allah mentions about forced to eat something haram?
When there is no halal food available.
Not necessarily. Driven by necessity. Okay. فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ. Okay. Driven by necessity. Number one is necessity. What is necessity? You are starving to death. If you are starving to death, then can you eat pork?
Yes.
Yes. But yes. You're like, you know what? This is my chance to eat pork. Let me, like, no pun intended, pig out. Can you do that? Neither craving. Necessity, but not with craving. I.e., you eat enough. Say a person is starving to death. They have no food but pork. They eat enough to stay alive. They don't overeat, justifying their situation. Do you see? So this is the two conditions. Necessity, for example, someone is dying, starving, then what is haram becomes halal. Okay, it's an example, right? This is an example, Fadlullah, that in life and death situations, what is haram becomes halal because Allah is forgiving and merciful. That's the idea. You guys get it? In life and death situations, when something is haram can become halal. This is actually a principle of our religion. It shows the beautiful nature of our faith. Allah tells us, all these things are halal. Enjoy them and thank Allah for them. Okay? But if you are faced with that situation where it's life or death, then the impermissible also becomes permissible. As long as you're not craving it, you're doing it only out of necessity. This is a key part. Okay? This is actually a principle of our religion. What do you not know of the Yusuf? This is clear from the ayah. It's not like I'm not saying this. I'm not making this up. The ayah is saying it. Okay. So, that is that. Next thing that Allah says that He expects of us, O people. Okay? He expects us to be people of virtue. Right? People of?
Virtue.
People of virtue. What does that mean? This is actually called the ayah of virtue. Ayatul Birr. Do you know that?
Ayatul Mudayana, I think.
No, it's called Ayatul Birr. Yeah. Ya Abdurrahman. Oh, okay. The ayah of virtue. Why do you think it's called the ayah of virtue? Because it describes what a person's virtues, a believer's virtues are supposed to be. What makes you amazing? This ayah describes it. Okay. All right. Let's get Ya Arham. Are you with me?
Yes.
Arham, you're with me. Okay. All right. Who would like to read? Let's see. The translation.
Me.
Who's me?
Me.
All right. Let's have, like we had a boy before, let's have a girl. How about Saima? Saima, can you do it?
Yeah.
Where are you, Saima?
I'm here.
All right. Me? So what I'm going to do, Saima, is I'm going to ask Arham. Arham, you stop at like a point.
Okay.
What I'll do, Arham, is like I'm going to like point where you stop. And then Saima, I'll tell you like here's where he stopped. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. Arham, tafaddal. Go ahead.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب.
Virtue does not consist in whether you face towards the east or the west.
ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين.
Virtue means believing in God, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets.
All right. Pause for a second, please.
وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ
Sorry, Rahmash, give me a minute, huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what? What's he describing?
Virtue.
Right, and what's the word for virtue in the ayah in Arabic?
Al-bir.
Al-bir, okay? Keep that in mind. What is bir? What does it mean to be a good Muslim? What does it mean to be, like, what does iman, faith, being religious, what does it mean? Does it mean just turning east or west? Is it just rituals? No, it is not just rituals. It's not just, you know, a to-do list of items. Eat this, don't eat that. Face this way, don't face that way. It's not just that. It is more than that. What is the first thing that Allah mentions here?
Believing in God.
Believing. That's the first part of virtue, of bir, iman. That makes you understand the world. That makes you understand the next life. That makes you understand your place in the world. That makes you understand good and evil. All right? That's the first, that's the foundation. All right, next thing. وَآتَ المال, from here to... وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, okay?
وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ.
The virtuous are those who, despite their love for it, give away their wealth to their relatives and to orphans and the very poor and to travelers and those who ask for charity and to set slaves free.
Up to here, yeah.
وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ.
And who attend to their prayers and pay the alms and who keep their pledges when they make them and show patience in hardship and adversity and in times of distress.
أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ.
Such are there the true believers and such are the God-fearing.
Awesome. MashaAllah. Great job, you guys. Thank you so much. Jazakumullahu khairan. Okay. Look at what it says. Virtue. Virtue. Number one, it believes it's not just rituals. That's not what Islam is about. It's not just halal chicken. It's not just where direction is the Qibla. It's not just, is my topi on or right? Huh? Is it okay? Topi? That's not what Islam is all about. That's part of Islam. Halal chicken is part of Islam. Which direction is the Qibla is part of Islam. The type of clothes we wear, like the modesty is part of Islam. But that's not all of Islam. Okay? What is Islam? What is being religious? It means, number one, believing in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets. It's about faith. It's about understanding our place in this world and the world right now and the world of the next life. The good and the bad, the following of the Prophet, salvation, all of these matters. Okay. Number two, that iman leads you to do something. It means leads you to do what? Despite their love of it, give their wealth away. Giving charity despite loving wealth. Loving it. I need it. I love it. But you still give it away to the ones who need it, to the relatives who are in need, to the orphans who are in need, to the poor who are in need, to the travelers who are in need, to those who ask for charity, to set slaves free. To set a slave free. Someone whose life is basically, you know, miserable. You give them a new chance at life, and you don't gain anything out of it. It's not, there's nothing in it for you. You're doing it for the sake of Allah and to help that person. That is the idea of virtue. You're doing it to help someone else for the sake of Allah. That is what virtue is. What is virtue? Number three, attend to the prayers and pay zakat. وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ. This is something you find in the Quran consistently. Pray, and not just pray, establish the prayer. Pray with meaning. And then help those who are around you who need help. This is what virtue means. Keeping your promises. Number four. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. Okay? Your word should mean something. You are an honest person. When you say something, you mean it. What you say, you mean. When you make a promise, you keep. This is what virtue, what a good Muslim is. Okay, it's not a person is praying Allahu Akbar Salah, nice beard, topi on the head, right? And then they're lying. And when they say, okay, we'll do this, and they don't do it. That's not virtue. That's not being a good person. That's not mufuna bi'andhim idha ahadu. It's showing patience in hardship and adversity. We already saw that, right? Difficult times in life, you are patient. You don't say, you don't complain about it. You don't say, why me? You're patient because you know Allah is going to be in charge. He's going to take care of us. Okay? In times of distress, heen al-ba's actually is referring to the middle of a war, okay? Like in the middle of a war, you're not a coward that you run away from battle. You're like, you know what? Let me save my life. Let my friend die. Who cares? That's not a good person. This is actually an evil person who thinks that way. Let me just save myself. Everybody else can suffer. Who cares about them? Right? That selfishness is a disease. Muhin al-ba's. You're like, look, we're all in it together. We're all going to be going through this together. It's not just about me. We're going to all, come out through this well. Okay? Those are the true believers. Ulaika alladhina sadaqu. That's the true believer. Okay? Ulaika humul muttaqoon. Look again. In the very beginning of the surah, what does Allah say? Hudallil. Lil what?
Muttaqeen.
Who are muttaqeen? Allah's going to tell us this, right? Who's the muttaqi? Right here. That people who live this, that is a muttaqi. He spoke about guidance, right? Huda lil muttaqin, huda. He spoke about how do you know that you're guided? It's the way you react to bad things that happen to you. That shows whether you're guided or not. This is a beautiful ayah. It's such an amazing ayah. The ayah of virtue. Be people of virtue, ayatul bir. What else does Allah expect from us? We have only a few minutes. Okay, I'm going to show you quickly. Okay, he expects us to fast. Aha! Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Is that a virtue? Is that a good deed? Fasting, especially in Ramadan. What would they? Yes, ayah number 183. Yes or no? People, you with me? I know you're tired. Fasting. That's what he expects of us. It was expected of those before you, right? People before us, i.e. other prophets, their followers are also fasting. This is not like brand new stuff that Allah put on us as super hard. No, everybody did it before as well. This is something that Allah tells us. Continuing, what number are we at? Number seven now. Number seven is, look at this ayah. This is one of my favorite ayah in the Quran. Do not consume one other's property by unjust means, nor offer it as a bribe to the authorities, so you may deliberately and wrongfully devour a part of other people's wealth.
Riba.
Riba, close. This is bribery and systemic corruption. You know what this word means? Systemic corruption?
No.
It means the system that you live in is corrupt. It's unfair. The powerful will get what they want. The rich will get what they want. The poor is trampled. That's what it's referring to. Don't be the person who is funding that system. Don't be a part of that system. Don't be that powerful, rich person that tramples on the poor. You know what's amazing about this ayah? It comes right after the ayah of fasting, right? The night of the fast. All these ayat from 182, 187 are speaking about fasting in Ramadan, right? Yes or no? Look at that. This one starts here. Yes. Fasting. 183, fasting. Fasting, fasting, Shahru Ramadan, you know, related to fasting, dua. 186, fasting. When do you fast? What can you do at the night after you've broken your fast? All those things. Yeah? And then corruption and bribery. Ripping people off. It's like Allah saying, if you fasted in Ramadan and you're still a corrupt person, you still are a person who is bribing people, you're still, you know, not changed, then what really was the point of that fast? That fast was just a diet. It wasn't really fasting. It didn't change you. Because the purpose of the fast is to change you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Remember taqwa? هُدَلْ لِلْ what? هُدَلْ لِلْ
مُتَّقِينَ.
Right? Here again. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the point. You become someone who stops evil. Give up evil. Give up sin. That is what fasting is supposed to do. And if that doesn't change you, if fasting didn't change you, it's like, what was really the point of all of this anyway, right? And this is something that's very, very critical, that what Allah expects of us is we're expected to be people who are righteous, you know, in the way we are spiritually and also in the way we deal with people. Also, Surah Al-Baqarah, second juz mentions, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Hajj and Umrah. The passage of Hajj and Umrah comes here. Ayah number 196. Okay? That's what that describes, Hajj and Umrah. We're going to stop, inshallah, in a minute. Just give me a sec here. In Hajj and Umrah, what do you have? You have large crowds. Well, this year, not so much. We ask Allah to return return Hajj the way it was pre-COVID. When you have large crowds, lots of people. What happens when you have lots of people all squished in one place?
Start getting mad.
People getting mad. People get upset. People start elbowing. People start, like, you know, doing things that they wouldn't do normally. Yes or no? If you've been to the Umrah, if you've been for Tawaf, if you've been for Hajj, you know what I'm talking about. It becomes very difficult when people are squishing you. People are stepping on your feet. It hurts. Huh? Someone comes and just puts their hand on your back and you're like, yo, bro, come on, man. Right? He's leaning on you while you're making tawaf. It's very difficult. It's hot. But what does Allah say about Hajj? All these things. He says, the person who's doing it must abstain from indecent speech, from wicked conduct, from quarreling while on the pilgrimage. Huh? What's the point of the pilgrimage if you're fighting and saying bad things and doing bad things and hurting people? What's the point of that kind of pilgrimage? What good is that Hajj if that Hajj was just trampling on people? So again, you see how amazing the ayat are. When Allah describes a pillar of Islam, Hajj, He describes not just Hajj, but He says you're expected to become a better person during it and after it. Describes fasting, you're supposed to become a better person because of your fasting. That is what taqwa is. That is what Allah is expecting of us. Inshallah, we'll stop here. And what we will do is, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will reconvene in 2 weeks, inshallah. This week, next week, we're off. August the 1st for Eid, walhamdulillah. And then, inshallah, August the 8th, we will restart our study, inshallah ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا. Thank you all for coming out.
جزاك الله خيرا.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام